Good morning, everyone. All right, without further ado, we have a dynamic couple here that's going to share the word with us this morning. And he kind of mentioned what it is, but I'm not going to say. I want this one to be a surprise, right? So, who would you like to pray for you this morning to start things off? Wow, I never seen Kenny volunteer for anything. You're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Well, I'm excited. We got a nice young couple up here, and they're both doing what God's asked them to do, to bring forth the word. Yes. Father, I pray for an anointing upon them, Lord God, as nervous as they may be, Father God. Yes. But, Father, they've spent that time in your presence, Father God, that you just anoint the words, Father God, that it would touch our hearts, touch our ears, and that we put it into action.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 Amen. It's all yours. Go for it.
All right. Thank you.
No, thank you.
All right. So the title of this lesson today is called Lessons from a Man's Best Friend. And I'm going to let Ashley start off with it.
So, you know, throughout the Bible, you've seen God use people, places, things, animals, you know, to prove points, to do his purpose, to change people's lives. And I don't know if anybody can just name, like, really quick off the top of your head, like, three animals that God used. Donkeys. We all remember that one. Donkey. You know, it's any animal that God's used in the Bible. Birds.
What?
Whale. So, yeah, so these are, you know, so it's not the God using it, something is, you know, kind of insignificant, seemingly insignificant as an animal to, you know, speak to people, to teach people, to change people. So before, Ricardo's actually going to tell you how God used our dog, Jem, to teach him about the unconditional love that God has for us. You know, an unending one love that God has for us, but how we can only give him a certain love, so far of a love, you know, back to him, because, you know, we're not God. There's no way that we can return that same kind of love back to God, because we're only human, and he has, you know, this supernatural love for
perfect
us.
Perfect love.
Yeah. Perfect love, yeah. So when I first met, you know, Ricardo and Jem, she was very jealous of me. You know, like, we were sitting on the couch watching a movie. She would put one paw up between us, and then two paws up between us, and then her whole body's, you know, between us while we're watching a movie, laying her head on his chest, looking at me like, you know, I was the woman here first. And, you know, so, but you saw this, like, great love that, you know, like, Jem had for Ricardo, and, you know, Ricardo had for Jem, and she wanted to do everything to please him, and she was very obedient, and, you know, very, very good dog. And, if she left, she would cry at the door and sit there and wait for him to come home. You know, she didn't. She loved me. I know she did deep down, but she was. It was all about Ricardo. You know, and so we actually had to put her down like a few days before Christmas. Really suddenly, she had, you know, like a severe, like very progressive cancer, and just it was a whole ordeal. And you know, we actually noticed it at home group. She was actually very big part of our home group. You know, she would walk people down the stairs. She would greet people at the door. She would sit there and lay in the middle of the floor and listen to the message, you know. So she was...
Donna gave her a lot of popcorn.
Yeah, you know, and just, she was, you know, so she was like, obviously, you know, like anyone's animal is very a part of our lives. But so, you know, it's been like 3 months, I think, since we haven't had her. And every pretty regular, I'm like, do you miss the dog, Ricardo? I miss the dog. What do you miss? And one day I was like, you know, what do you miss about the dog, when we asked him? And he said, well, she taught me a lot. And I'm like, well, what did she teach you? You know, just making conversation. And basically told me the stuff that he's going to tell you. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of like a good teaching on how, you know, God's love is for us and, you know, how we are should be with him kind of thing. So it's lessons from a dog or man's best friend. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that, too, and lessons how we should love each other, too. So first off, let's start off with first impressions. When I got Jem, she was about 5-6 months. Actually, I inherited her because I was in Afghanistan when my ex and the kids decided to get a dog. And that was going to be their dog because I was gone, so they needed a companion type thing, you know. I had no idea that I was getting a dog. So right before I came home, I was told I had a dog. And about a month before I came home. And a couple weeks in, I got another call. Dog got hit by a car. Right? Dog recovered, was fine. Everything was good. She was a puppy. So she's pretty flexible, you know? So she was perfectly fine. I got home, and this is what I got. We don't know what to do. The dog has bit up everything. The windowsills, the wood windowsills were all chewed up. You know, the legs on chairs are chewed up. Bed frames that are wood chewed up. This dog's biting everything, you know, eating everything up, destroying everything. So this was my first impression. I'm like, I didn't even want a dog. Why did I get this? Why do I have to deal with this, you know? And so the first thing that came to mind was, okay, well, then I'm going to take this dog to obedience school. And I'm going to go with the dog to obedience school.
You know, before, when I was reading Ricardo's notes yesterday, and he said his first impression of her was, like, destroying and biting and barking, I was, you know, kind of funny thought popped in my head, like, you know, when we came to God or when God first saw us, like, how many of us were biting, barking, and destroying things in our lives, you know? Because we were imperfect, we didn't know better, and we're acting out of control. And, you know, sometimes it still happens, you know, through our Christian walk. But, you know, we have God there to be able to put us back into obedience or to show us his love for us, and we can come back to him. So it was just kind of it was just hilarious to me, like, you know, she's acting like this, but we've all acted like this toward God or when we first came to God, mm-hmm. before we knew any better, you right. know.
So I get to this obedience school, and, you know, we're like, I'm trying to get rid of these bad habits. So one of the key things are, well, before I even go into that, obedience school, I kind of related it to, like, when we get saved. The Holy Spirit works in us through the church, the word, et cetera, you know, to get rid of our bad habits, our own bad habits. So obedience school, you know, I'm kind of correlating it with our walk, you know, when we get saved. So one of the key things that I learned, which in fact is a godly trait, is consistency. I had to be consistent. You know, I had to do things. Everything had to be the same, you know, consistent. I had to show her that I was going to give her the same. I was going to provide for her the same. You know, I was going to give her a treat when she did something right. You know, I was going to praise her when she did. So she needed to understand that I loved her, you know, that I cared for her, that she was going to be okay, you know. So there was a lot of consistency that I had to work, not only in myself, but in the dog, you know. So I learned a lot there. And so God has shown us that he is consistent because he is consistent, we know his love never changes for us. In Psalm 105,
it says, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation."
So God's love and faithfulness is there even when we continually mess up. You know, his mercy, his grace, his faithfulness never ends. He loves us and wants us to be better. And another verse that shows he is never changing comes out of Hebrews 13:8.
It says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever."
So if you put that with how God describes love, as a matter of fact, can anyone tell me how God describes love, just off the top of their head?
Think of 1 Corinthians.
There you go, 1 Corinthians 13, right? Love is patient, love is kind, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of us have read this before, but I know that some may have not, so it's good to rehash that a little bit. So he can't change from that, right? He's perfect. So he's an unchanging God. And so how awesome is it to know that his love for us never changes, no matter what we do, you know? And that's one thing that I had to learn. I had to learn that I had to love her no matter what, you know? And so in that, God has shown us in his word that we can depend on and trust in him. I showed Jem those same things, and she learned that I wouldn't fail her, and she loved me for it. I know it's kind of emotional thinking about all this stuff because Jem, you know, passed, but it's just crazy because when we were talking about this, it just made me think about it all. But Jem was the best dog, you know, but there was times where Jem still did wrong. And I could walk in the house, and I remember I walk into the house, and normally she's right, as soon as I walk in, she's right there. Her nose comes right through the door, you know, and I walk in and she's not there. I see her a little bit away in the distance, and she looks to see who it was, and she put her head down, and then she was just like, just trying to keep her distance, you know. I knew immediately right there, she did something wrong, right? But also, if you think about it, they're not human, right? That was her showing her repentance, you know? You know, kind of like what we do, you know, when we do something wrong and we repent to God, you know? But she knew, you know, let me see. Yeah, she knew that I was going to still love her. You know, she knew, you know, and that situation, I forgot to mention this because sometimes when I read, I get jumbled up, but it reminded me of Adam and Eve, you know, when they hid from God, you know, when they did something wrong, when they sinned. So her acting like that was her showing her repentance, like I said. I always open my arms back to her, same with God. We go through hard times, whether we cause it or not, or sometimes we distance ourselves from God, but he loves us he loves us and he wants us to come back. He always wants us to come back. Jem realized she needed me. Jem realized that I need to be there to feed her because she can't feed herself. I need to bathe her. I need to walk her. And there was times where she got into fights with, I can almost say Satan, but she was a bad dog. And I had to mend her wounds, you know. And it was, you know, I had to do things. She had to depend on me. She had to, kind of like us with God, you know, when we sin, when we mess up, you know, or when things are going hard, you know, we got to come to him, you know, and he mends our wounds, you know, and that whole thing reminded me of the example that Jesus left for us when he cleaned the disciples' feet. He, as God, took a humble position to do a dirty job, kind of like I did with my dog, you know, that no one would want to do. One of the many things that showed was that only through him could we be clean, become clean. He loved us enough to die for us and cleanse us of our sins. We can't do that on our own. We need him, just like Jem needed me. No. With all the love I showed Jem, what could she offer back? What could we offer back to God? The same thing God wants from us is the same thing that Jem gave me, companionship. She was obedient. As Jem and I got closer, we began to understand each other and loved each other more, you know, as that happened, our relationship got better like that. It was like she knew that she had to be obedient. She knew, I mean, it was crazy, even when she would get sick. I'm sorry I said it's crazy. I say that a lot. There was times where she got sick. We were talking about that at dinner the other day or yesterday. Even when she was sick, I remember at one point she would throw up, right? And I'd have to clean up the mess. And I would get upset initially because that's just the flesh comes up. I'm like, my God, you just threw up on the couch or you just, you know, threw up in a place where I'm like, oh, man, this is going to suck, you know, cleaning this up, you know? And so she started to, you know, as time went on, she started to go to a certain area right in front of the door where it was linoleum, and she would throw up there instead. She would try to always make it there so that way she wouldn't throw up on the carpet. So she wouldn't throw up on the couch, you know, or wherever, where she normally hangs out at. So things like that show me she's trying to do more than what I should even expect from her, you know. So she's trying to lead by the example that I was giving to her, as we should with God. An example that Jesus left for us. God has given us everything and loves us through all our mistakes, through all our failures. We can't give God back what he's given us. What we can give him is a relationship with him and obedience in our lives. The more we take time to know him, closer we get to, we will be with him. So in saying that, what are ways that we can get closer to him? asking you guys.
Spending time in the Word.
Anybody else?
Praying.
Anybody else?
Simply talking.
What is praying like, Betty?
What is praying?
Yeah, how do you pray?
Right.
Do you pray always on your knees?
No.
Not always, right? Sometimes it's when you're driving.
It's like all through the day.
All throughout the day, right? Pray without ceasing.
Right?
Acts of service. That's a good one. Right.
Yeah, that was actually one of the things that Ricardo had initially started with, was talking about servanthood. I know this is like probably like a funny way to describe a love using a dog, but she did, the way she acted was because, you know, how Ricardo loved her unconditionally, knowing that Jem can't really do anything for us. She can't, like, go vacuum. Like, sometimes I wish Jem could vacuum her own hair up, you know, from the couch, you know, or do something, or, like, I'd be like, Jem, go do this, knowing, like, she's not going to be able to do it, you know. But, so, with this, you know, with servanthood, it's, you know, we're doing things for her, not expecting, you know, her to return it, you know. And, you know, yes, you know, God does things for us, and, you know, the biggest, like, return that he wants is a relationship with him, is a personal, you know, a heart relationship with him, not just, you know, I'm going to, or I just say I'm a Christian, not, or tell people, but then not in our own time alone having a relationship with him. You know, the dog was always around us. When I was working in the office, it was laying with me. It always wanted to be around us, you know. So it's like we gave so much to Jem. She gave her time to with us, her companionship. And, I mean, it's, you know, obviously, like, God has given us so much, you know, more than what he ever did for Jem or, you know, anything like that. But it's like we have such little to give back, but it's such a huge thing because that's what God, you know, God wants. You know, God talked about David being, you know, man after his own heart. You know, how did David become that way? He had to know God. He had to cry out to God. You know, you see all through Psalms, he's crying out. He's asking for repentance. He's talking to God. He has a huge relationship with God, you know. And all the people you see in the Bible, they all had these relationships with God. It wasn't their coming to the church and, you know, maybe, you know, doing some cleaning or even cooking or, you know, which is, you know, it's servant within the body and helping the body, because this is God's help and people need, you know, they can't operate on its own. But it's that time at home, you know, where we're gaining that relationship with God. And then we're not doing things just because the Bible says don't do this, this, and this. You know, we're doing things because we love God and we want to please God. So, you know, just conversations in the last few probably weeks with some people, they didn't change immediately when they got saved. They changed, you know, down the road. They changed not because somebody was banging on their head saying you have to change, you have [S2] Right. [S1] To do this, this, and this. It was because they knew that they wanted to please God, and God had convicted them, you know. So that's, it's a process, yeah. And that was kind of the thing I had when he was telling me this about Jem, like a couple weeks ago. That's what it reminded me of. Like, you know, Jem was doing this to please her master, and the things that we, you know, God's given us so much. These are things that, like, is a big pleasing to God, rather than just doing this, this, and this,
right.
You know.
And that's what should drive us. You know, it's not about doing a ministry. It's not about coming to church. No, it's about pleasing the Lord. You know, it's not about impressing him or her or pastor or deacon or elder. No, it's not that. The moment you make it that, one, it becomes a chore. You know, when you do something, when you're trying to do something to impress someone, it becomes a chore. You know, then you don't see the love in it, you know, because you're not doing it to show love. You're not doing it out of obedience. You know, this type of stuff that a lot of us do as servants, it's out of love. And there's, it's not like we're not expecting a reward. We're not expecting, you know, a trophy or a title or anything like that. No, this is because we truly love God and we want him to be happy and we want him to be glorified and honored. You know, so that's what we want, you know, that's what a servant is, you know. So when we talked about this, because I really wanted to talk about servant, I was like, man, I really want to talk about servant. This is good, you know, and I know I'm learning about this, and I just have all these things, and I did looked at the books, definitions, Greek, Hebrew, all this stuff and everything like that, you know, and as we talked and talked and talked, I realized, I was like, this is basically synonymous with love. You know, it's, that's literally what it is. It's like, so to even be a servant, you have to love. You know, and go ahead. Oh, and I was going to say, and we have to do that unto each other. You know, not only unto the Lord, unto each other. You know, it says, love your neighbor, you know, love, you know, even love your enemies. Amen. You know, so in saying that, we have to love people even when, like, Jem, she couldn't love me back the same. So we got to love people sometimes, even though, and even though we know they're not going to love us back the same way. You know, that's important. You know, that shows the love of Christ, the love of God, you know.
I was just going to say, I just got me a puppy. It's a lot of work. I feel like I have a newborn. And but you know how God loves us, even, like, sometimes we get mad at him. Like, I know I have. I'm like, Lord, I don't understand this. Why do I got to do this? Well, she didn't go on her puppy pad. And so I took her to the puppy pad. I said, no, you don't do that. And I was getting frustrated. I'm like, Lord, this is a lot of work. Why did he give me a puppy? I wanted a puppy, you know. So anyways, I take her to the pad, and I'm like, now you go on the pad. You do not go on mama's floors. So I put her on the pad, and I go in the bathroom washing my hands. She comes over to the bathroom. Now, mind you, she's looking at me. She's got this attitude on her face, and she pees again. I'm like, you did that purposely.
Ooh.
And I took her. I cleaned it up. I took her. I said, this is where you go to the bathroom. But through that, like, I was like, Lord, why am I not enjoying this? I wanted a puppy. And, you know, the Lord told me that I need to love her, that he was going to show me something through her.
Amen.
He and does. There's a reason that he put it on my husband's heart, because my husband's not a big dog lover, but he loves this puppy. Like, if I do something, he's like, hey, you know, like, he's real.
Yep.
Sticking up for her.
Right.
And but the Lord told me, I'm going to show you something through this puppy.
Right.
I'm going to work something into your heart.
Amen.
So anyways, I go to the couch. She loves going out on the couch with me. And she comes there, and she, like, starts licking my hand. And I'm like, I know. I'm sorry, too. I got frustrated with you. And she just started, rah, 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 rah. Like, she started talking to me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I get it. You know, you're going to work through her for our relationship.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah, it was kind of cool.
We can relate to the dog thing. you know, there we taught the youth about love just a, you know, a week or so ago, and it says, how do you know you love God? Is that when you walk into a room, are you thinking about other people, or are you just thinking about yourself, right?
Good.
So for dogs, you know, a dog becomes very dominant to his household. So how are we when we're introduced to another dog in the household, right? Oh. Because, you know, Tank is not very friendly, you know, when we bring anybody or anything around him. And we had to be really careful how we introduced him to Marcy. But Marcy was the kind one and the loving one, and who would gladly look away while he dominated the room. But, you know, how are we loving each other? How are we loving each other in the household of God? Because it's great that we love God. We know God loves us. But are we really showing God's love by loving each other?
Amen.
You know, so.
Amen. That's really good.
Yeah, and that was kind of the thing that, you know, we had thought about. It's just that, you know, God loves us, and we don't have the capacity to love him back in that same way, you know. And it was just kind of cool to be able to hear him talk about that through Jem, and then, you know, me see it as, you know, we've been married for almost like 4 years. So half of Jem's life I was in there with her, you know. But
so remember, love is patient, love is kind with that dog, you know. It's,
yeah.
I had to literally practice that with my dog, you know, and I mean, yeah, it sucks. Sometimes you got to bite the bullet and deal with it, you know, and stuff, you know, and eventually it pays off.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a dog that loves you and is a great companion, you know, and same thing with God, you know, I mean, God is there for us way more, you know, and more than we are for our own dog, more than we are for our own kids, our own families, you know, and stuff. So how are we going to repay God back? By doing the same thing, you know, doing helping that family that gets that family member that gets on our nerve, you know, helping that neighbor that you know they're messed up, but they need help. You see sometimes the flaws in others because God wants you to help them, you know.
I know we're actually closing early. I didn't realize we would go through that this fast. But
yeah.
One of the closing verses is 1 John 4:16. And we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. You know, so because of that great love that God has for us, we should strive to, you know in our mind and our hearts that we can always depend on him. We can always put our trust in him. We can, you know, even when it doesn't feel like it, we can rely on him because his love is unconditional for us and unending for us. So. Oh, good. Stretch it on. We got a lot of time.
But yeah, because our dog actually died of cancer too. He had cancer. We had to put him down. So that was I ain't gonna get into all the story about that. But anyways, there was a time, you know, and we was I used to go to the pet store, you know, buy the food. But they had these real bones, you know, because he was a big dog, an American Bulldog, you know. So he used to chomp on these bones. It'd take him about an hour to eat one. So I bought two, you know, like I'll save one for later. So I gave him one earlier that day, you know, so he chomped it down. Well, me and Elsa was going somewhere, you know, and he kind of knew when he was leaving because he would look sad, like you're getting ready to go, you know. So I said, and we had a gate up, so he would have run up downstairs, you know, so he wasn't running through the house. So I decided, well, here, Louie, give you another bone, you know, this should keep you satisfied for an hour, you know, we're gone. Man, I come home,
Oh. And
I smelt it right when I walked in the house. Well, it gave him the runs because he ate too many.
Yep.
Right? And so he used to, you know, he'd hear you, he'd run upstairs. You know, be right there like, hey, you're home. Well, he wasn't there. So I'm like, oh, man. So I'm going to go down here. It was all over the floor, and the, you know, and he's hiding in the cage because, like you said, he knew he'd done something wrong. Right? So now it's in the cage, all over him. And I'm like, you know, but I didn't get mad because I know I gave him something he shouldn't. I gave him too much, you know. So I think, you know, and I learned something like, you know, just because I loved him so much. You know, I love the dog. Oh, here's something for you. And I, you know, and God does the same thing. Well, I think we ask for stuff, and God doesn't give it because we're not ready for it.
Right.
It's gonna, you know, mess us up. Down
right.
The line,
that's good.
You know, and so we. You know, and then we're still, you know, we don't even know that that's good. Because him, he was like, yeah, he was happy to get the bone. You know, went right and started chopping. He didn't know it was going to mess with him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we got to, you know, why am I not getting this? Well, maybe it's not time for you to get it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's, you know, God just, it's not in his will for you to get it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's why Pastor John said a teaching before that, you know, we closer we get to God, it refines our prayers. We don't ask for that stuff.
Right.
You know, we're more focused on not the worldly, but basically spiritually.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, I know when I first came to God, it was like, give me this, give me that, give me this. It was mostly, but as you got, them things kind of fade away. You wanted more of a spiritual gift.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love a good blessing, you know, but... You know, we should be focused more the spiritual.
Right. Those are bigger blessings than anything we can get here materially.
You know, so, yes. So, that's my dog story. And it was, it was pretty bad cleaning it up, too.
Oh, we got another one.
Yeah, I got a story because actually Kevin won't share it. So I'm going to share it.
And to be honest with you, this old softy, when you he looks all tough, right? So when I tell you this, one day he comes home, I know I'm going to mess this story up a little bit. So just
correct
deal with
her.
Me, honey. Yeah, if you need to correct me, you can take the mic. So, he comes home, and he's so mad about something. I mean, he's so mad. And he's like, I said, you got to tell me. I don't know what's going on with you, but you are like, what is going on with you? He goes, you're never going to understand this. I'm never going to tell you. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what you're mad at, who you're mad at, but I really wish you'd share it with me. So finally I convince him. And he goes, he was somewhere around the area of seeing these baby ducks.
Oh.
And they were like going in through some stream where they were falling into their death, into a little sewer thing, you know, and he tried to get help for them. He was actually calling. He could not stop what was happening to them. There was traffic all around him, and he was doing everything he could to get help to save these little ducks because he's seeing them falling into this gutter thing, and no one would come and help him. And he sat there so frustrated as everyone passed by, as they just fell to their, and it seems like such an innocent thing, right? But his heart was, you know, for those little animals. But how often are we crying about people that are going by and they're falling to their death? Mm. And are we praying? Are we seeking help? Amen. Is anybody caring? And maybe there is just a few of us that do. But I'll tell you, he was in such despair and such anger. He still can't talk about it. He goes, I'm like, he literally hands this little piece of paper and he says, baby ducks, as you guys are talking. And I'm like, tell the story. But, you know, it's true. You know, I mean, God does use that for us, like, you know, as examples. You know, like, do we care about what's lost and what's hurting and what's not being saved? And do we care enough to stop and call out for them? So,
right. Yeah. Amen.
You know, we have to be aware and looking for that, too. You know, a lot of people are just going by and they're so, like, even me. I get so focused in my little world and what has to be done in this world and how everything has to be
going through the motions.
You know, so you know how you're on autopilot and you're driving, you don't even know how you got there, but you just ended up there, you know, and you don't even pay, you don't even know how you, you know, what drove. But if you're not looking for, you know, things hurting or people hurting, I mean, you're not looking, you're not going to be able to see that somebody needs help. You're not going to see that they need love or that somebody's teetering off the edge. And they're going to end up in the sewer, you know, so you have to be looking and aware, and totally different story, but yeah. I like, I liked how, you know, it's an animal, you know, it's just the funniest things that, like, God can just use to really make a huge impact. You know, sometimes it's even our children, you know, that could be a whole nother story, you know, it's our children that teach us things about, you know, God's unconditional love.
And how we love them shows us, I mean, our God loves us that much more, you know. But that's all we get.
Yes.
Thank you guys for hearing us out.